Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted show hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only, Pastor Rich.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us again this beautiful Tuesday morning. I see spring coming, and I love it. And with spring, we have a couple of things on the calendar that we need to acknowledge. And one is Mother's Day, which is next Sunday. So I'd like to remind all the husbands out there to get your wives' Mother's Day cards. I'd like to remind all the children of moms to get your mom's Mother's Day cards. And if your mother has passed, as mine sadly has many years ago, take time on Mother's Day to be grateful. To be grateful for all the gifts that our mothers have given us. Because without our moms and our dads, we would not be. And not only have they given us the gift of life in cooperation with the creative love of God, they have also helped shape our personalities. As children, they've given us guidance. They've poured love into our lives. And for this, we should be eternally grateful. So please remember to be grateful to your mothers on Mother's Day. It's a very special day for them, and it will be more special if you remember them and show your love and appreciation. So please keep your moms in focus always, but on this special Mother's Day, please do something to let your mothers know how much you love them. And I'd like to shout out to two friends in Western New York, Paula and Peggy, who are both mothers and nurses, and who have taught me through their kindness and care, not only for their children, but for others, what it means to be a nurturing and loving person. So Paula and Peggy, thank you for being who you are. The other thing I'd like to mention about Mother's Day is that we have a special day coming up at our church on Sunday, Mother's Day, and that is our grand reopening, if you want to call it that. We have been in COVID lockdown for more than a year, and for that year, our church has not only survived, but it has learned to thrive and to grow with an online presence that we wouldn't have imagined a year and some months ago. But now we have decided that we are going to go back into live services. We are not abandoning our online brothers and sisters who have been worshiping with us, some of them from as far away as Florida and Maine and Saskatchewan, Canada. So we're going to be live streaming, but it will be a live stream of a service that any of you can come to if you're within our listening area. And if you have no church of your own, please give us a try. Our services start at 10:30. Every woman present will receive a plant to acknowledge their nurturing, loving personalities. Because that is essentially what women give to us. They give to us that nurturing and that loving that make us who we are, and that's the gift of womanhood. So come on Mother's Day to our reopening, and it's going to be a special day because the readings that the lectionary has picked for us are extraordinarily appropriate for Mother's Day. The gospel reading is going to be from John 15, 9 through 17. Let me just read it to you because it's so appropriate. What do mothers do? They love, right? They love us deeply and passionately. And this is what Jesus tells us we all should do. So the reading is, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Now, abide in my love. And the word abide means live there. You know, don't just appreciate it, but live into that love. He goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So how do we stay with Jesus? How do we live into his love? We keep his commandments, and we live there. He says, all these things I have said to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so this Mother's Day reading says that Jesus is telling us the pathway to joy. Not happiness, not security, not wealth and power. He's telling us how to have divine joy. And it's a simple but challenging recipe. He says, love one another as I have loved you. So to understand that, we need to understand the cross, because the cross is the paramount place where God shows his love for us, where Jesus shows his love for us. And what do we see on the cross? We see the outpouring of everything that a man has, every drop of his blood, the last gasp of his breath, given, not taken, but given out of love for us. So how do we love as he's loved? We need also to give. You know, we live in a very selfish age where everybody is out for themselves. I had a friend once with a t-shirt. It said, the one who dies with the most stuff wins. And in fact, that's, well, a funny message, in some ways a sad one, because no one who dies with the most stuff wins anything. It all goes to his estate. But what Jesus is saying, that the pathway to joy is giving, not receiving. It's pouring our love into the lives of those around us. What else do mothers do but that? They pour their love into the lives of their husbands and their children.
And I think we have a caller.
Do we have a caller, Steve? We do.
Hello.
Hi, how are you and how can we help you?
Good morning, Reverend. My name is Bob, and hey, Bob. I just happen to have a radio show on WRCR on Friday nights. And I was coming home from the dentist last Tuesday, I believe it was, having had four teeth pulled.
Oh, my God.
And not feeling too great. And I turned on your show, and I want to tell you what comfort and what joy and what inspiration it gave me. And I'm back again this week to listen again.
Oh, Bob, thank you so much. How are your teeth?
Well, I still got more work to be done, but, you know, they're coming along. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, happens in life, I guess, as you get older. I'm God willing, I'll hit the 80s this October.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you. He really has. And you're speaking about mothers. Of course, we loved our mother, but we got to remember how much Christ loved his mother, too. And
you know something? I want to get into that love towards the latter part of the show, but I couldn't agree with you more that Mary gives us a template for what motherhood is all about. And the relationship of Jesus and Mary is something that has been treasured by Christians really from the very beginning of the church. At the cross, the dying Jesus looks down at his mother and John the Evangelist, and he says, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. So in essence, what he does is he gives the church a mother.
Absolutely.
And we would be terribly impoverished if we forgot that.
Oh, absolutely. And to think about the anguish and what she was going through at the time, being a, you know, being a human being.
Absolutely.
You know, losing her son and watching what was going on was just, you know, can't even imagine, you know.
Well, and not understanding how the story seems to be ending this way.
Right.
Because even she doesn't know resurrection. She doesn't know what that means yet. None of them will until a couple of days later. What she knows is that her dreams of her son being the one, the Messiah, the Savior, the new David to rescue his people, those are dashed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so she is there. But one of the things Mary does, and this is something that great mothers always do, she held things in her heart. She didn't rush to judgment. She pondered, she considered. Even in her anguish, she didn't lose faith in her son.
And I guess she was also the epitome of forgiveness, because I'm sure she forgave everybody that did this. So
as did he.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, but, yes. When you look at, you know, love one another as I have loved you, and isn't Mary the pinnacle of that? I mean, she is the paradigmatic person who lives into that commandment to love.
Absolutely.
And the love of Jesus is a forgiving love, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Irma Bumbeck, to jump to another mother, who I think she passed 20 years ago or so, but she had tremendous wisdom. She was just this mom in the Midwest, and she wrote books and columns, and
right.
She was vastly successful. But she wrote somewhere that, I even wrote it down here. Where is it? A child needs his mother the most when he deserves that love the least.
Oh, wow, that's fair. Yeah, my wife loved Irma Bombeck.
Yeah.
She really, really did. So, but speaking about books, I would really like a copy of yours.
And we will send you one so that you can be one of the few. It's a collector's item.
Right.
No, it sounds fantastic. And you could probably just leave it up at the station. I'll pick it up on Friday night if you'd be so kind. That would be wonderful.
Actually, it'd be easier for us to mail it to you because we won't be back at the station ourselves until Tuesday.
Oh, okay,
so,
fine, sure.
So we'll be happy to send it to you, and thank you so much for listening and for a great call.
What do I have to give Steve? Well, Steve has the info. I can give Steve my information, right?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Steve,
thank you. Pleasure. And keep on doing what you're doing. It's just great.
Thanks a million. God bless
you. Thank you so much for calling.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye now.
Take care. And I think we have another one.
Oh, another caller.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Well, I am a repeat caller, Pastor Rich, and I just wanted to correct the last caller. As he does on Friday nights on his show, he makes a lot of mistakes. He called you Reverend, which I'm sure a lot of people do, but it's Pastor Rich on Tuesdays, and I got to tell you, I am really excited once again. It's like a sermon midweek, and it's so uplifting. Tuesdays, getting your show on our local radio station, it's just one of the greatest things that they've done in recollection, because this type of show, and you're not the type of guy, I said it before, this is Father Clem checking back, that you don't just push your religion and everything is right with your religion and wrong with the others. Everything I hear you say when you talk about other religions is welcoming and supportive of their beliefs, and that's why I've really clung to you. And again, it's Pastor Rich doing a great job here on Tuesday, so... Just wanted to chime in. I'm not going to give myself a plug, you know, shameless plug like Bryan Avenue Bob did, but I commend you on your great work. And
but when is your show so we can give you an unshameless plug?
My show is every day from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, and basically it's an entertainment show. We inform people of news that may not be heard, but the main thing we do, Pastor Rich, is we advocate for mental health. I, you know, have bipolar. I try through God to get through the bad days, and he allows me, gives me the power to get through those bad days, and he gives me a lot of great days to circumvent all the good things that come through me through him. So I do the afternoon drive, and it's, like I said, entertainment. I call it radio therapy. It, you know, gives those people a little break in the afternoon to get them through their day. Well, like I said, we also advocate for mental illness, and you know, I know a lot of it is just your belief in God, and be affirming that good things will be, and hopefully that can get people over the hump, you know, that deal with mental illness and have mental health issues.
Well, I will be tuning in, and what a great message you have. Of course, when I think of it against the horizon of faith, I remember that faith heals. I mean, the Jesus of history was known as a great healer. And one of the things we often fail to do in the process of healing, and I'm not saying don't go to doctors or psychologists, don't take pills. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is that God gives us, through our human minds and through our human agency, the ability to be healed and to heal by our knowledge of medicine. But it also, God also hears the prayers of his people. And it is religious malpractice to fail to pray for those who we love who are sick. And I say this, a shout out to the moms out there and to the dads, to the parents. If your children are sick, pray for them. Pray over them. I don't care if it's the sniffles. You know, we don't have to, you know, think of prayer as the last resort of the hopeless, because it's not. It should be the first resort of the hopeful. So when you have a sick friend, when you have a sick child, pray for them. Pray with them. Pray over them. And don't neglect that bringing in some way of the power of God into the world of their sickness.
And amen. And, yeah, you're truly amazing, Father. I tell you,
thank you.
You are. Your words are of wisdom are, again, always inclusive, never ridiculing, talking down, berating. You know, as someone with another opinion or another mindset or an illness, I tell you, you're just a great guy and a blessing from above.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Baruch Hashem. Have a great day.
Baruch Hashem yourself.
Yep.
And for those of you who do not speak Hebrew, Baruch means blessed, blessing. And Hashem is one of the ways that we refer to God. Hashem means the name. So Baruch Hashem, blessed be the name. It's a blessing of God. So thank you very much. And I just echo that, Baruch Hashem. And with that, I think we should go into our musical portion.
And you are listening to the Faith Unscripted program, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church or check us out on our website at crcwestnyack.org. And just as a quick reminder for everyone, Clarkstown Reformed Church's grand reopening will take place this Sunday, May 9th at 10:30 a.m. Our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. That again is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. And to ask any questions during today's program, please give us a call. Our studio line is 845-429-1700. And if you would like to send us any questions to talk about on one of our future shows, please send a message to Pastor Rich at revrich@mac.com. That's revrich@mac.com. And for the musical portion of today's program, we will play "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," played by Susan Brown on piano. Enjoy.
Thank you.
already. And you're back.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Susan Brown, our incredibly gifted music director. She is the best music director of any church in the known universe and elsewhere. And I just wanted to continue on our Mother's Day theme, really, because the motherhood of God is something that is much neglected as a Christian thought or teaching. But we get that teaching not from the feminists of the 20th and 21st century, but from Julian of Norwich, an anchorite, which was a woman. She was a woman in England. She's the woman, the first woman who wrote a book in the English language. She was attached to St. Julian's Church in Norwich, England. She lived as a solitary, as a recluse. She spent all her time praying. But during her lifetime, Europe was swept by two pandemics. Sound familiar? They were the Black Death pandemics that wiped out in England. The first wave of it wiped out around 60% of, between 40 and 60% of the population, and then it came along a little later and got another 20% of the population. So this makes COVID-19 look like a Red Cross volunteer. But Julian, during her lifetime, lived through all of that and lived through it prayerfully and lived through it with hope. And as a young woman, probably in her 20s or at the very most 30s, she was extraordinarily sick. And during that sickness, she had what she called showings. They were experiences, visions of Christ. The first came, they thought Julian was dying, and a priest held a crucifix to her face, to her eyes. And she heard a voice that says, "Don't look there, look to heaven." But she knew and could discern the voice of evil from the voice of good. She knew that she must look to the cross. And as she looked to the cross, she experienced this tremendous joy. And among other things, she said, and she wrote, because she wrote all these showings down to preserve them, and they're available today. If you went on Google, you could look up Julian of Norwich and find a number of books by her and about her. But she said, I knew that in God there was no wrath. She said, wrath was in me, but there is no wrath in God. And so that's something to think about, because we often have images of God the judge and God the punisher. But God is, at least if Julian is correct in her religious experience, God is not wrathful at all. God is all love. God is all love. And it is when we live in love that we live. The failure to love, evil, is a negative thing. It in some ways, evil doesn't exist. It brings you into nothingness. It's only love that brings us to life and to joy. And that's an insight of Julian's. The other thing that Julian spoke of, she spoke of God not only as our Father, but surely as our Mother. Here are her words. She writes, "As truly as God is our Father, so truly God is our Mother. And that showed he in all." So that's what she is saying. What does she mean by that? What does she mean that God is our Mother? Well, doesn't she mean that there's an intimacy? What motherhood is intimacy? Motherhood is tenderness. Motherhood is caring and sweetness. And she's saying that God is all that. And in her in her teaching of that truth, and I do believe it's a truth, she goes back to the faith of Israel and to the author of Genesis, who says God created man, Adam, the word for man, Adam. Then the author goes on, male and female, he created them in his image. So what's the image of God? The image of God is maleness and femaleness. The image of God is fatherhood and motherhood. And we would be impoverished if we forgot that. Now, we live in an age where some folks are trying to eradicate gender. But I think the faith of both Israel and the faith of Christians growing out of that faith of Israel is that there is a profound beauty in both maleness and femaleness. Both of them reflect the divine reality. And that I think is something that we must recall, and we have a lot of that from this woman who was never a mother herself. Julian of Norwich was a celibate, almost like a cloistered nun, but she had this wonderful, vivid life of faith, and from that she has this image for us of God, our mother. So on Mother's Day, and where did that image come from? When she looked at the cross, instead of away from the cross, when she looked at to the cross, she saw this incredible love that could only be expressed as father and mother. So hang on to that for Father's Day, guys, too, for that's coming up next month. And I do, excuse me, I do also want to honor Mary of Nazareth. There's a great story coming out of St. Bonaventure University, where I used to teach. There's a beautiful library on the campus, the Friedsam Memorial Library. Monies for the library were donated by a Colonel Friedsam. I think he owned Lord and Taylor's, one of the big stores in New York back in the day. And he was a Jewish gentleman, and he was solicited for a gift by a Franciscan priest, Father Thomas Plassman. And Tom Plassman was a bit of a character. But he went to Colonel Friedsam. He said, if you help me build my library, and the old library had been burned down in the fire, there was a disaster on campus. He goes to Friedsam, if you'd help me build my library up, I'll name it after, I will honor with a beautiful portrait, a prominent Jewish woman. So now, Friedsam gave him every bit of the money he needed. Friedsam was a very generous man. And he also gave him a tremendous art collection. So the art, there's some original paintings from the great masters up at St. Bonaventure University in Allegheny, New York. And it's worth a trip there just to see the art in the library. But if you go to that library, over the front door, you will see a beautiful picture of a prominent Jewish woman. And that prominent Jewish woman is Mary of Nazareth. So the prominent Jewish girl who said yes to God's invitation to be the mother of the Messiah. So, great story. Who was she? She's probably the most significant woman who ever lived. Her influence far outshines all other women of every age. Cleopatra, Eleanor of Aquitaine, Marie Curie, Margaret Thatcher, significant women all, can't hold a candle to Mary of Nazareth. Aside from her son Jesus, it would be hard to find a historical figure who is as well remembered or who is as deeply revered. Yet we know almost nothing about her other than what is found in the New Testament, and even there, the details of her life are sketchy. That is the first paragraph, by the way, of the new book I am writing. It will be entitled, at least its working title, is Mary, Mother of Faith. And I'm writing it as a pastor in the Reformed Church because I believe that Protestantism, the Reformed tradition, has been impoverished by neglecting Mary. Carl Jung, at the time when the Assumption of Mary was proclaimed by the Pope, I think it was Pius the 12th, he said Protestantism has, let me get the quote, exact quote here. I'm not going to find it fast. The Protestantism has really failed to keep up with this important aspect of religion, because what Jung believed is that by acknowledging the Assumption of Mary, in some ways, the Catholic Church was acknowledging the importance of women and of womanhood to faith in God. Not that Mary became like the fourth person of the Blessed Quadrangle, quite the contrary, but what Mary represents is an inflow of feminine energy into the dogma of the Church that sees God in too many male contexts. So Jung saw this as a deeply important dogmatic acknowledgement of how the essence of womanhood is in fact a part of divinity. I think had Jung been more conversant with the writings of Julian of Norwich, he would have been very, very comfortable with her notion of God as mother as well as father. But what can we say about Mary from the New Testament? We can say that she was a woman of profound faith in God. When we find her first in the Gospel of Luke, she is a kid. She's probably 14, 15, young. She's already betrothed to be married to a carpenter, Joseph. And she has her life all planned out. I mean, it's planned out for her. Her marriage was arranged, likely, because that's how things happened back then. And she wasn't married yet, but she, in her mind, she would never travel far from her village, which was in a very rural part of Judea. So she was basically a hick. She was a young kid and a hick. And that's how she would have been seen by the elites in Jerusalem if they stumbled across her. She believed she'd get married, she'd live as the wife of a carpenter, she'd be faithful to her Judaism, she'd raise her children, and she'd never travel too far from her home. And then, according to Luke, we hear about the Annunciation. The angel of the Lord, and the angels are messengers, right, appeared to Mary of Nazareth. And he said words to her that shook not only her life, but shook the foundations of the rest of the world. Hail, he said, greetings, Mary. You're full of grace. You are, what's grace? Grace is God's love. God loves you, kid, he's saying. The Lord is with you. He said, blessed are you among all women, because she is chosen. And blessed will be the fruit of your womb. Now, why is she chosen? She is chosen because God chooses. It's as simple as that. And he chooses unusual people in unusual places to do unusual things that are God's will. And so in this case, he chooses a kid, not an empress, not a princess. He chooses a girl who is just becoming of age. And he says to that child, will you agree to my plan? And she could have said no. She could have said no because God, the author of life, is also the author of freedom. But she didn't say no. She thought. She asked questions. She says, what does this mean? Because I don't know man. Because the angel Gabriel is saying that the power of the Most High is going to come upon you, and you will have a son. And Mary, you know, a young woman from another age, but she knew enough biology to know that's not going to happen unless she knows man, unless she and Joseph have come together, and they haven't. And the angel says, the power of the Most High will come upon you. So this is God's work, and he wants you to be his partner. And she said yes to that. Now, if we take that as a nice story, that's fine. But in fact, God continues to choose unlikely people like you, like me, people in Rockland County, people who don't feel particularly smart or skilled, people who may not have the best education in the world. And he says, I want you. I want you because I choose whom I choose. And he has been doing that all along the way. He chooses to create. He chooses Abraham. He chooses Moses. He chooses all sorts of folks who are unlikely heroes in the story of salvation. And he chooses us too. And the one thing he asks, because he continues to be the author of freedom, he says, will you help me? Will you follow where I'm asking you to go? Because if you do, I will give you everything you need to get there. That is the promise to Mary. And that is the promise to us.
Thanks for tuning in to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Catch us here next Tuesday when we expand the show to the new hour-long format right after the 10 a.m. news, only on WRCR AM 1700.